About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day, on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works. And then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Verses 1 through 10, Jonah chapter 4. Then looking in the book of Acts in the New Testament, book of Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 5, verses 5 to 8 to begin with. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verses 5 to 8, Acts chapter 8. And then finally then, same chapter, Acts 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. what hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Verses 26 to verse 40, Acts chapter 8. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many instances in Scripture where you very clearly call your servants to go on a mission, to go to do a work, to go to carry out a task you've called them to. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you call all of your servants in the truest sense of the word to be missionaries who live on mission every day, believers who listen to your voice, listen to your word, listen to your spirit, and live with a yes, Lord attitude. Help us to learn to live every day on mission, knowing that you have much work for your people to do. Our job is to listen and obey. Empower us to live a lifestyle just that way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we first sinned, and while we were sinners, you came and died on the cross for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've called us to share that good news, that you came and you loved us first, and that you've called us to love in your likeness. Heavenly Father, I just ask that more people, more of the church would be able to go out and walk in ministry and walk in evangelism. Thank you so much for calling us to greater things than this. And thank you so much for providing everything we need for it as well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're blessed and very grateful to have with us in studio today, Jennifer Nanny. She's a part of our AFA staff family here at the American Family Association. And specifically, she works with the AFA Stand. And also, she's a special projects editor with the Stand and with other special projects as well. Jennifer, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph, for having me.
Great to have you today. And I guess it was just a few weeks ago, you led devotion here as we do on mornings here at AFA. And you shared about your mission trip, a recent mission trip that you took to Taiwan. And you didn't have a long time, but what you shared was very powerful and very encouraging. And I think it's so powerful to listen to individuals, to believers, when they go maybe whether it's their first mission trip or maybe one of many that they've been on, because it's an opportunity to listen and learn how typically the Holy Spirit uses an individual to get God's work done in a given place of ministry. So again, I appreciate you coming to share about that trip today. So if you'll take a moment just to maybe share a little bit more about yourself so our listeners know a little bit more about you, and then we want you to dive right in and tell about your recent mission trip to Taiwan.
Okay, well, I live here in the Tupelo area. I made a profession of faith as such when I was a child, but when I got to high school, I went to a camp and realized that all I had wanted was, all I remembered about it was just wanting to get in the water in the baptistry. And so I realized that that was not true faith, and I gave my life to Jesus. And through those years, even before then, my church had been going on mission trips. Mm-hmm. And so that was something I wanted to do. And then when I got a little older and got to the age where I was going to get to go, they changed the age limit. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to the age I was going to get to go again, they changed it and started going to camps.
Sounds like they were conspiring to keep you out of going on a mission trip.
When I wasn't saved, mm-hmm. you know, when I wasn't truly saved. Mm-hmm. But so over the years, I got married and I have 7 children. And as I went through all of that time, our church started going on mission trips, and I wanted to go so bad. And then my children started getting to go, but I still had small children, and I always felt like I could not do that at the time. But I wanted to go so bad, and I was finally like, Lord, you're just going to have to tell me Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, I'm not going to know whether it's your voice or my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need you to tell me when it's time for me to go.
So all these years you were longing to go on a mission trip, and the door just didn't seem to open prior to that time.
No, it didn't. And so in 2016, I was helping with the Mississippi Baptist All-State Youth Choir and Orchestra audition at our church. And I didn't have any connection with them. I was just out there helping with our kids and stuff. And the lady who was the director over it just started talking to me and just really wanted to know about me. And a few months later, she called and said, "Jennifer, I think God wants you to be a part of this.
A part of the choir?
Of the touring with the youth choir as a chaperone." And so that was like, okay. I thought, well, I guess that's a call. You know, God has told me. And then later that summer, our youth choir was going to a mission trip in Ohio, or our youth group was. And then our worship pastor said, the youth choir is going too, so are you, because I'm the accompanist. I was like, okay. But in all those years, it took me a while to realize that that was really God saying, that was my first call for that mission trip, because it wasn't overseas.
Right.
You know, it was not the mission trip.
It was mission, but just wasn't overseas.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, or even out of state, it was just in our state, except for that one, you know, the one to Ohio was like, oh, yay. You know? But anyway, then a couple of years ago, one of my friends at church I had not known for very long, she told me that her husband had seen a mission trip, and he was interested about, it was a prayer walk. And she said, "Oh, are you going to go?" He said, "Well, no, I think you're supposed to go and take Jennifer." And so I was like, okay, I don't have any money, whatever, you know, Lord, but I know you'll make a way if that's what you want me to do. And we started trying to get everything together, and nothing would work. I didn't have a passport. Then my birth certificate was wrong. Everything was out of whack. And so we couldn't go on that one. And then just different things kept coming up that were just stops. But then my dad died in July of 24. And after that, like the next week, she said, okay, let's look. And we started looking for trips. And on the International Mission Board website for the Southern Baptist Convention. So, and we found this trip. And it just said Christmas in Taiwan or something like that. And so the general idea of it was that you go and just share the historical and cultural part of Christmas in high schools or in schools, public schools in Taiwan. And so
that was an open door to be able to go into the schools in the nation of Taiwan to share about Christmas.
Right. You have to be historical, and it has to be cultural. And they do a script, and it has to be approved by the school administration. But that's how they're able to do it. And it started with a prayer walk with some missionaries that were there in Taiwan, and they were walking outside of schools and praying there.
Praying over the schools.
Over the schools. Mm-hmm. And a security guard there asked them what they were doing. And so they told him, and he said, "Well, could you come in and tell our school about Christmas?" I guess it was at Christmas at the time. And so
that's what the security guard, he asked that question.
He asked the question if they could come in and tell about Christmas. And so that's been about 20 years ago. So this program's been going for about 20 years. But it's just,
praise God.
That's
a great open door.
It is. And so that's how it all got started. And they take groups of three, six, whatever, about 3 weeks before the school, before Christmas, they'll do it a week at a time and go to different schools wherever they have open doors and or door openers. And when they also are doing it at Easter. So they tell about the Easter story. And they've even been invited to talk about Thanksgiving. So there are several ways that they're being able to go into the public schools and talk about Christian ideas.
I'm going to jump in right here. We can pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Jennifer Nanny. She's AFA staff and sharing about her recent mission trip to Taiwan. We'll be right back. Thank you.
try to count the stars, you already know them each by name. Every single galaxy is your design and majesty display. Your glory shines before our eyes. The more we see, the more we love.
Music from Bethel Church with King of Wonders. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jennifer Nanny. She's a part of our AFA staff family, and she's sharing about a recent mission trip to the nation of Taiwan. So, Jennifer, as we begin the segment, would you take time now specifically to pray for listeners that many of them would become more mission-minded in view of the fact that God calls all of us to be mission-minded? Sometimes our mission might be overseas. Sometimes it might be next door, in our neighborhood, in the grocery store. But we're called to be mission-minded followers. Would you pray for believers to grow in that area of their lives?
Sure. Father God, we just thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord, and the grace that you put upon our lives, and that you allow us, you invite us in to your work, that you want us to go and share about who you are, Lord. And I pray that you would help our listeners and help me to be more mission-minded every single day, Father, whether that mission is far away or if it's in my own home or their own homes. I pray that you would use us for your glory and use us to share your word. And I pray that you would send your workers into the field, Father, that you would call them and they would listen and follow what you say. In Jesus' name.
And Father, too, thank you for Sister Jennifer. Thank you for her sharing about her recent mission trip. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you really do call us to learn, to live, and think along the lines of being on mission all the time, everywhere. And yet at the same time, along with the way in which Jennifer's just prayed, Lord, you do call us sometimes to short-term mission opportunities, maybe in a foreign community or a foreign nation. But Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we're your servants. We're to listen and obey you wherever you call us to, and help us to be wide open. Help us to understand our priorities, that you call every believer to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel, the wonderful work of making disciples. And you call us to be believers that are about the business of sharing your love with a world that desperately needs to be touched by it. Help us to be available vessels that live on mission the way you would have us to every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right. Well, Jennifer, if you'll continue now, you were sharing about that this was a particular mission opportunity whereby you would be a part of a group of people sharing the Christmas story in public schools in Taiwan, correct?
Yes. Okay. So we worked through the, like I said, the Southern Baptist Convention through the International Mission Board, and we had a missionary liaison there who arranged everything for us, had our rooms and everything. And so we went to Taiwan, and then like the first day on the ground, we were just training. We worked with some kids that were some high school and junior high kids who were siblings who were going to be our translators at the end of the week at their brother's high school. And so we had to learn how to do the translation part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wait, don't give too much. Don't give too, you know, just give them enough to work with and not to run off and leave them.
Right.
And so it was my friend Jan and I. And then we had another lady who is also part of the team who is another missionary from, she lives in another continent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to share it because I don't know how free she is. Mm-hmm. So, but she came on her vacation to Taiwan to help with this mission trip on her vacation from her mission, her own mission. Mm-hmm. So there were the three of us, and then, like I said, we had translators that helped us, those kids, and then some other different ones throughout the week. So that first day we had to learn how to do that, and then just getting our feet wet, learning about Taiwan. This was my very first trip out of the country ever, not just mission trip, but ever outside of the United States. And so it was a big eye-opener for me. And we had a script that we had to kind of follow. We had to follow pretty closely because if it sounds too preachy or like you're trying to proselytize, then they can, the teachers are in there or administrators even, and they can shut you down. And if they see that happen, you might not get back in that school. And so we had to be very careful to follow what our script said. It was very biblical. We started in Genesis and went all the way through to Jesus' birth and told that whole story, sin, everything. But we couldn't ask them, you know, what do you believe? Do you want to believe in Jesus? Or anything? We just had to, this is history. This is actual history. And this is what we as Christians, this is why we celebrate Christmas. And so that was our goal in being in the schools, was to, even if just to open the door just a little bit. And we got to, we could leave a Bible with them. And so we would say, if you want to know more about Christmas, you can look at the Bible and read more about the story that we've just told you. And
so you all had a chance to bring Bibles into the schools to give away as well.
We got to give one Bible to each class. So that, and each class had a leader, or if it wasn't a teacher like at the high school, there was a leader for that class. And so we would give the Bible to that leader. And they could, you know, if somebody wanted to see it, they could go and see the Bible. But Taiwan is, I'm not sure where we're going here, but Taiwan is a very open country. Like they broke off from China, or people that were in China moved into Taiwan when the Republic of China and the People's Republic had a split. And so they moved into Taiwan. And so it is, as opposed to China, where it's very, very, very closed, Taiwan is very, very, very open. And anything is available. I mean, you can believe whatever you want to. Just don't push it. You know, you can't push your religion. But there are Christians there, but it's about under 6% of the population is Christian.
It's a very small percentage.
Very small. And that's considered Christian. So that could be cults that say they are Jesus, whatever. It can be, you know, non-evangelical or whatever, but they are considered to be Christian. So that's about 6% of the country or less.
And so you're, what day of the week did you arrive in Taiwan?
We arrived on Friday night, late, the day after Thanksgiving.
And so you didn't get, did you get to go into the schools, I guess, the following Monday then?
Well, we started, our week started then, but we didn't even get to a school until Thursday. But we were the first team, and so we had to do a lot of the prep work. We put together some little cards with candy canes on them that told the story of, you know, the, what the candy cane, about the stripes and the colors and all of that. And we also got to take about 1,000 of our Keep Christ in Christmas AFA bracelets, the silicone bands, so we could, we couldn't go up and hand them to a child, but we could say, these are available. If you would like one, please, please take one. And so, but no, we didn't get to go into the school until Thursday, but we did have other opportunities before then.
What were some other things, along with sharing the Christmas story, were there other things you got to do with children in Taiwan?
We, like on that Sunday, we went to church at Grace Memorial Church, Grace Baptist Church. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's the largest Baptist church in Thailand. I mean, Taiwan.
In Taiwan.
In Taiwan, or Taipei at least, but I think it's in Taiwan. And so we got, we went to the English service that day, and after the service, we got to present to the Awana class. So they were the English speaking class, so we didn't use translators then, but we got to practice our presentation in front of those children.
Okay, so they have the ministry Awana in Taipei as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They did. Mm-hmm. They had Awana. So we got to do that. There was also a church we worked with on the following Wednesday. The pastor there, the minister there, has a after school program, mm-hmm. which actually started because she started a Sunday school, which meets on Saturday, but she started a Sunday school when she first got there. The church had been without a pastor for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so she came in, they called her to be their minister there, and one of the first days she was there, she said it was during the COVID outbreak, mm-hmm. when it was first fresh and all, and there was a little boy out in the street, and he looked through the fence at her, and she saw him, and then they started talking, and he came in, and that's where her Sunday school program started, mm-hmm. is with him and his two or three friends that he brought.
Okay.
And so now she has I think she's got about 30 kids in the Sunday school program. Mm-hmm. And because that church became very known for being child-friendly and welcoming in the community, the government has programs for after-school activities to help students that don't do well or that are just kind of wandering the streets. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, mm-hmm. they heard about her and came to her and asked, would you do an after-school program?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we presented the Christmas story.
Okay.
It was at her after-school program, not at the Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. So that was another place we got to go and share.
Mm-hmm. And the pastor of the church then, so she worked a good bit with children then.
Yes.
And she had a growing number of children that she was working mm-hmm. with. Okay. I think I remember specifically when you shared in devotion, though, you shared a really neat story about the pastor, about how background so far as what led up to her getting involved with this kind of outreach.
Yes, I did, but I don't know that I'm at liberty to share that.
Oh, okay.
Because it was something she had shared with us just in a small group.
I understand. So,
but it was very poignant and very important that her history, she had a history and understood where those children came from.
I see.
And so
see.
Okay. That's how she came to Christ, is through ministry to the children in the streets mm-hmm. when she okay. was a child.
Well, can you share what are some things, and you know, you've been home for some time since the mission trip. What are some things in your mind that stand out that you really think often about after you've come home and thought back on the different aspects of your journey to Taiwan? Are there things that come to mind that especially stand out?
I'm still in contact with one of our translators who was there with us a lot that week. She came to Christ as a student in the States, but she's from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is just on fire for Jesus, and she is so involved in so many different ministries. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her a while ago, just earlier, what we could pray for specifically for her, if there was anything in her going on. And
she's still in Taiwan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She is a native of Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said that she works a lot with a ministry to the red light districts there.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministry she works with is called Pearl Family Garden Ministries.
Okay.
And so they have several locations around. They're wanting to get locations all the way around the country to reach out to the people, the women in the red light districts, not just the women, the men too.
Mm-hmm. So
that's one thing she said, you know, it's not just the men. Also, it's not just the men who come in to buy the time with the women. It's also the men who are the bodyguards and the people that are keeping a watch on the women that also need Jesus. She said they all need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have an outreach not just to the women that are in the sex trade, but also to a lot of women who are marginalized, who are poor, who are homeless, and just all around that district. And they're all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and they're known. This is the red light district. This is where you go to buy a person, to buy their time, to buy their body.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ministry, Pearl Family Garden Ministry, works with women and the men as well in those districts.
Is that basically like an outreach of the local church, or is a ministry to itself that's not necessarily connected to the local church?
It is a ministry of its own, but they connect with the local church, but it is a separate ministry itself. Mm-hmm. And they just have liaisons with the churches, and they try to get people to be involved with the ministry to reach out through the local church.
Okay, okay. When so the Southern Baptist Mission Board, that's it was the means whereby you were able to get plugged into mm-hmm. this. That's an opportunity that's an institution within the Southern Baptist Church that yes. helps lots of individuals that would like to go on a mission trip to plug in and find out where they can go and be involved. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They have a website. It's the International Mission Board, IMB.org, I believe. And mm-hmm. you just would search for mission opportunities, or I can't remember the exact drop-down list. But. Mm-hmm.
So that's a place where anyone that happens to be in the Southern Baptist Church can go on that same website mm-hmm. if they're interested in, kind of like you, if they wanted to go on a mission trip, that's one way whereby that can happen.
Yes. Yes, that's a lot. They have a lot of different opportunities, and it'll give you details about when it is, or how the duration of it, or even how much it might cost you. Just lots of different things about the different trips that they have available.
Okay, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work of the International Mission Board that's connected to the Southern Baptist Church and the work they're doing. Father, anoint it with a fresh anointing. Prosper the work of their hands. They continue to do outreach mission in many different countries. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our studio guest is Jennifer Nanny, a part of our AFA family, and is sharing about her mission trip to Taiwan. We'll be right back.
The Son of God was laid in
music of Kerry Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jennifer Nanny. She's a part of our AFA family here, and she's been sharing about a recent mission trip she took to the nation of Taiwan. And Jennifer, you know, like as your week was coming to an end, as you all were going to public schools and sharing about the Christmas story, can you share maybe things that were going through your mind as you knew things were drawing to a close? What were your thoughts? What were your feelings at the end of the week?
Oh, one thing that really struck me is when I saw that this was a scripted program that I would be a part of, I thought, well, that would be a great introduction because I've done Christmas programs at school, at church, and things like that. And so I thought this would be a fairly easy step for me to take, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in one of my blogs that if you ever think you can do it on your own power, you're sadly mistaken, you know. So as we went into the public schools, the first group we saw were third graders. And so they're fairly, you know, it's not as nerve-wracking, but I kept my notes all week. I had my note cards with me every single time I did a presentation. Mm-hmm. And even on Friday, all through the day, I kept my notes and all the way up to the last presentation. And our missionary there said, "Are you okay? Do you need me to step in and do this?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I came here to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, God's going to get me through this." And but it was something that really stood out to us that day. Mm-hmm. The very first class that morning, we saw two different classes together. We had four sessions and we had like one or two classes each time. Mm-hmm. And that very first class, one of the groups was kind of late getting in there. They were an Aboriginal group, mm-hmm. Which is like Native American, the Native Taiwanese. Mm-hmm. And when they came in, they had been practicing for a program they were going to do because it was Aboriginal week. Mm-hmm. And so when they came in, they were kind of singing a song or something. And the Aboriginal people are considered mostly Christian, you know? Mm-hmm. That they are. Well, I think I mentioned that earlier that they regardless of what denomination is, they are considered to be mostly Christian. Mm-hmm. And so they came in and were singing something, and then they asked if at the end of the class if they could sing their song, mm-hmm. and so they did. And as they started singing, my friend and I, Jan and I, were like, I don't know what they're saying, but about a few words in, we heard hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And hallelujah, and hallelujah. and so the song they sang to their class said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise mm-hmm. the Lord, hallelujah." Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. That was something that God used, that if we had asked them to do something like that, mm-hmm. we couldn't have. But mm-hmm. God set it up and allowed them to sing and invite the other class to sing with them. Mm-hmm. And so they clapped and stuff, you know, and they may have been making fun of them, but mm-hmm. the Aboriginal kids, but they were so excited. Some of them were very excited to sing about Jesus, even in that just a little, you know, just a little a cappella a song that they did. It wasn't a big presentation. It was just singing about Jesus. And to do something that we could not do as the presenters. And so God made that opportunity. That was just amazing to me that he worked at it. And our native translator that was with us, that I call Lydia, she was absolutely floored by that, mm-hmm. that they got to do that, and because they asked if they could.
And so, in other words, the children got to minister to other children, yes. within the group then. So
yes, that was just amazing that God opened that door.
That's good. That's good. Jennifer, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for the church worldwide to become much more mission-minded? You know, there's such a need for us to understand that individually and collectively, our goal is to always be going forward, going out to carry the message of Jesus Christ to the world, again, whether it's across the street or across the world. But the key is that there's a need for us to have a mindset and a heart to do that as well. Would you pray for the church as a whole to become much, individually and collectively, to become much more mission-minded?
Okay. Father God, again, we just praise you and thank you for opportunities that you give us to be a part of your work. And I pray that you would be with the church around the world, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself to be more focused on missions, to individually to reach out as they can, whatever route that takes, Lord, and for the church as a whole to reach out and to take opportunities, to make opportunities that you set before them, to take advantage of the opportunities you give them to reach out to those who are lost. I pray right now also the Pearl Family Garden Ministry that I mentioned is needing helpers, and they work with local churches there in Taiwan, and I pray that you would burden the hearts of the people in those churches to want to reach out to the ladies in the red light districts, that you would draw them in, that you would show your love through the church to those who are lost, that you would show your compassion to those who are lost through those people in the churches, through me, Father, through my church, through whoever you call to do your work. I pray that you, and that's every one of us, I pray that we would be open to follow your plan and not just to make our own plans about what's comfortable and what seems like it would be easy, Father, that we would follow your plan and do what seems impossible for us, but that you can do it through us, and that we would be willing to go and willing to share as you make opportunities for us. In Jesus' name.
And Father, to thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the joy that is ours as believers to be believers who live life on mission, that we know that you call us to go on mission, sometimes again in our neighborhood, but sometimes again on the other side of the world. But Lord, thank you for your church, the body of Christ in the world. Set us on fire afresh with the spirit of mission. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much work that you want to get done, and you're desiring to use available vessels who are willing to say, yes, Lord, send me, I'll go. Father, to every believer listening right now, I pray that each believer listening would pray for open doors and opportunities to be involved in mission to you. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to pray like Isaiah, who did pray in Isaiah chapter 6, his prayer after you asked the question, who will go for me and who can I send? And his response was, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, help us more and more to live in such a way that it's our longing and our desire every day to pray that prayer. Here am I, Lord, send me to do your will. Thank you for the privilege, the joy of living life on mission and being vessels through which you can do your work and your will in the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Jennifer, tell me now, after your first mission experience going to Taiwan, do you have in mind to go again sometime?
Oh, Jan and I have already talked about, we don't know where or when, but we definitely believe God's kind of put us together as a team.
Okay. Okay. So the two of you want to go together again then?
Oh, yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. So you don't really have in mind where, but you're open to that possibility.
Wherever he leads us.
Right, right. So if someone is listening and they're thinking to themselves, they'd like to check into the possibility of plugging in with the International Mission Board, tell them again that full name again.
It's the International Mission Board.
This is of the Southern Baptist Church.
Yes, but I believe it's a separate website. I believe it's just IMB. Mm-hmm. IInternationalMissionBoard.org.
Okay. And they have mission opportunities kind of all over the world then?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them are like for the summer for students that could go and stay the summer. Some are just a week at a time or maybe for a year. Just different lengths of opportunities, even if you're not intending to be a full-time missionary mm-hmm. for your life's work. You know, if that's not what God's called you to, there are still opportunities to go.
And so children can go as well as adults then?
I know that they have some for students. I don't mm-hmm. know if it's like younger children or not, but I know that at least middle school, high school,
they
would have opportunities.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for coming and sharing today. And I can imagine that the Lord has used what you shared to touch and inspire a lot of people just to become more mission-minded. So thanks for letting the Lord use you today, okay?
Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
And Father, again, we thank you for the privilege and the joy of being vessels through which you can work. And Lord, open our eyes and our understanding to come to realize, too, that some of the greatest joys in life will come as we simply listen to you and obey you and go where you call us to go and do what you call us to do. Help us to grow in understanding of the fact that there's great joy in being involved in ministry, great joy in being involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel with people so that we can be your vessels to help pull people off the road to hell, on the road to heaven. And help us to know, Lord, that your church, the body of Christ, is involved in the most important business in the world, the building of your kingdom. Help us to live continually being about your business, to do just that daily, your vessels through which you can work to build your kingdom. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we normally do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you know you're not saved, but you desire to be saved, if you'd like to make that step and commit your life to Christ and be saved, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're definitely wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to communicate with you. I'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.